This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين حمدا يوافي نعمه ويكافئ مزيده اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على عبدك ورسولك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي آمين يا رب العالمين لقد كان لكم في رسول الله أسوة حسنة لمن كان يرجو الله واليوم الآخر وذكر الله كثيرا قل إن كنتم تحبون الله فاتبعوني يحببكم الله ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم والله غفور رحيم السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. So do you know you get 30 good deeds for responding to salams? So inshallah, we'll try that one more time. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi
wa barakatuhu. MashaAllah. Jazakumullah khairan for having me. It's truly an honor and a privilege to be speaking about the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and joining you all this evening. And inshallah, tonight I would like to discuss with you the mindfulness of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And may I ask you all for a favor, please? When I say the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's name, let's all send salawats upon him. And say it in a way where the person next to you can hear you, so that if they've forgotten, when they hear you say it, you'll remind them, inshallah, and you'll get the reward of yourself and the person that you reminded. And so sending salawat upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when we hear his name is so important, right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran says that Allah and the angels send peace and blessings upon the Prophet. O you who believe, send peace and blessings upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There are countless narrations where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam talks about the virtues of sending salawat upon him. And he also talks about how miserly the person is who hears his name and doesn't send salawat upon him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And so inshallah tonight, I want to discuss the mindfulness of the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So what's mindfulness? Mindfulness has been this recent buzzword that we've been hearing a lot of people talk about. We've been seeing it on magazines, a lot of Instagram posts and, you know, blogs and articles about it. And it's recently gained this popularity mainly due to the recent research around mindfulness. The research suggesting how beneficial and transformative mindfulness is, the seemingly simple practice of mindfulness. But what is mindfulness? Simply stated, mindfulness is just an awareness. Mindfulness is the practice of purposefully focusing your attention on the present moment, not thinking about something from the past, not worrying about something in the future, just living in the present right now. And it seems like that's something that we're already doing. Like, Sister Dunya, why are you going to talk about mindfulness? We're all sitting here and we're all present. Well, two psychologists at Harvard recently did a study and they found that our minds wander. We are not mindful for about 47% of the time. Think about that. We live about half of our lives not living in the present moment. Either thinking about something else, something from the past, or something from the future. And mindfulness has so many positive benefits. Research suggests that practicing mindfulness improves not only your mental health, but also your physical health. Practicing mindfulness improves things like your stress levels. It lowers your stress levels. It reduces harmful ruminating patterns, increases happiness. It protects us against anxiety and depression. Research even suggests that people who practice mindfulness are better able to cope with life's tragedies. And some studies suggest that the main element of happiness, which is something that all of us want, is mindfulness. In order to become happy, we have to master the skill of mindfulness. Mindfulness even affects our relationship satisfaction. Several studies suggest that a person's ability to be mindful can help predict their relationship satisfaction in the future. But more importantly, practicing mindfulness is good for our spiritual well-being, for our akhirah, by practicing the mindfulness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But we didn't need all of these recent studies to tell us the importance and the value of mindfulness. We didn't need all of these studies to persuade us to practice mindfulness, to be more mindful. Mindfulness was a practice of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and that's why I'm talking about it tonight. And that's why we're going to learn about it. And inshallah, that's why we're going to start implementing it in our lives. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ فَاتَّبِعُونِ يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهُ. If you really love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then follow the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and Allah will love you and forgive your sins. And so that's why we are learning about mindfulness. And our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was mindful and present. He was not only mindful and present with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he was mindful of himself. He was mindful of those around him. He was mindful of things, even inanimate objects. He was mindful of animals. He was mindful of the angels. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from his infinite mercy and his generosity, sent to us our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who he said about him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنًا. That there has most certainly, there's no doubt about it, that in the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is an excellent example and role model. And so we have to follow the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, not just in the length of the beard for the brothers, not just in the way he dressed sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but also in his other practices like this one. And so one of the beautiful characteristics that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam embodied was mindfulness. And inshallah, I want to share with you five categories of mindfulness from the sunnah of our beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And it looks like you guys forgot, so I'm going to remind you, because the reminder benefits the believer. When I say Prophet, you say sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So number one, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was mindful of you. Yes, you, every single one of you in this room, and every single one of you watching us on Zoom. Aisha radiallahu anha says that one time the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam entered the house and he had a cheerful face. He looked happy. And so she said, I wanted to take advantage of the fact that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was happy. So she said, Ya Rasulullah, make dua for me. Pray for me. So he said, O Allah, forgive all of Aisha's sins, her past and her future sins, the ones that she did in secret and the ones that she did in public. And could you imagine how Aisha radiallahu anha felt in that moment? Imagine the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam making dua that Allah forgives all your sins. You're set, right? Isn't that our greatest mission in life, our greatest goal in life, is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us? And so she got so happy, she laughed and she fell into the lap of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And so the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is like, yeah, Aisha, does my dua make you happy? And she said, of course, yes, it makes me so happy. And listen to what he said. He said, by Allah, he swore, this is my supplication for every member of my nation in every one of my prayers. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam made dua for you in all of his prayers. Look at how much he loves you, how mindful he was of you. and think about it. Have you even made dua for yourself in every single one of your prayers? Think about the times you prayed in a fitting room and you're like so nervous because you're hoping the lady doesn't come and say, excuse me, ma'am, are you okay in there? Or think about the times you've prayed at work in a corner, hoping that nobody comes in, Bob doesn't open the door and go, what's this guy doing? Or think about the times you delayed your prayer and there was only a few minutes left until the next prayer, and so you prayed super quick, right? But the Prophet ﷺ, he remembered you in every prayer. The Prophet ﷺ even was mindful of you, and he even thought of you. He even missed you. He even wished to meet you. So one day, the Sahaba said that we noticed that the Prophet ﷺ was visibly sad. And so they were looking at him, wondering, why is he so sad? And then he started speaking, and he said, I wish I could see and I could meet my brothers. They said, Ya Rasulullah, hello, we're right here. And he said, no, you're my companions. My brothers are those who will come after me. And they never met me, they never saw me, but they believe in me. Imagine the Prophet ﷺ wished, he longed to meet you. And in a really, really long narration from Anas radiallahu anhu, this one shows how much the Prophet ﷺ was mindful of us and how much he truly loved us. And every time I think of this, my heart melts. And it's actually one of the motivations that brought me to Sira Intensive. Just thinking about the Prophet ﷺ and how much he loved us, and how could I not spend a week learning about him, hearing his name over and over and over again. And so because it's a really long narration, I'm going to paraphrase it and condense it just a bit. So the Prophet ﷺ said that on the day of judgment, the believers will be waiting and waiting, and it will be so long, right? It's such a long wait that the believers will become worried. And so they'll start talking to each other and they'll say, why don't we do something? Why don't we ask someone to intercede for us? And so they say, yes, let's go and let's ask Adam alayhi salam to intercede for us, so that we're relieved of this distress. And so they go to Adam alayhi salam and they say, you know, you're Adam, you're the father of all mankind, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created you with his own hand. Why don't you go and intercede for us and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to end this day of judgment and to just enter us into Jannah? And Adam alayhi salam says, no, I can't do it. It's not me. Go ask someone else. Go ask Nuh. So they all run to Nuh alayhi salam. And they say, oh, Nuh, you know, you are the prophet that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted such great virtue to. Why don't you go and intercede for us? And Nuh alayhi salam says, no, I can't do it. Go ask Ibrahim. He's Khalil Rahman. And so they go and they go to Ibrahim alayhi salam and they say, ya Ibrahim, you know, please intercede with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala so that we don't have to stand in this day, it's so long, so we could just go to Jannah. And Ibrahim alayhi salam says, no, not me. Go to Musa alayhi salam. He's the one who spoke to Allah. So they go to Musa alayhi salam and they go, ya Musa, please go intercede to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and have us just enter Jannah. We're really, really tired of this day. And Musa alayhi salam says, no, I can't. Go to Isa alayhi salam. And so they go to Isa alayhi salam and they ask him, and he says the same thing. He says, I can't do it. Go to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And so they go to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam says that I will ask my Lord for permission to enter his presence, and I will be granted permission. And then he says, when I see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I will fall down into prostration before him. And I will stay in prostration for as long as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wills. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will teach the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that he's never praised him before with. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will tell the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, oh Muhammad, lift your head and speak, for you will be listened to and intercede, for your intercession will be accepted. And ask for anything, whatever you ask for will be granted. Now think about it. He could ask for anything, right? What does he ask for? He's thinking about you. He goes and he says, Ya Rabbi, my ummah. Oh, my Lord, my nation, my followers. And so the Prophet ﷺ says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will tell him that he's allowed to go and find the members of his ummah and enter them into paradise. The Prophet ﷺ says that he will enter and he will go and take the people out of the hellfire that followed him and enter them into paradise. Think about that. The Prophet ﷺ, the gatekeepers of Jannah are only allowed to open the gates of Jannah for Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There's an authentic narration. Think about all the hardship he went through in the 23 years he was a prophet. Think about all the persecution. Think about all the abuse, emotional and physical. Think about the fact that they made him bleed, right? Sheikh Abdullah is going to talk about what happened at Ta'if. His legs, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, were bleeding. And what happens in the battles when his face, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is bleeding and his teeth are broken. Think about all the pain he went through. Doesn't he deserve to just go to Jannah and enjoy Jannah? Couldn't he have just said, I'm done. I did what I needed to do. I'm going to go enjoy Jannah, but he doesn't want to enjoy Jannah without you. And so he goes back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and does that, goes into sajda and asks Allah three times until he goes and he gets everybody who followed him out of the hellfire. And the narration says, he'll take everybody out except those that the Quran imprisoned. Meaning those who are destined to stay in the hellfire. SubhanAllah. The Prophet ﷺ was mindful of you. In an authentic narration, the Prophet ﷺ said that every prophet has a supplication that's answered. And I intend to delay my answered dua for the day of judgment to intercede on behalf of my nation. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was also mindful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of course, number two. But I wanted to start with his mindfulness of you so that inshallah you could really listen with your heart and really appreciate the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So he was mindful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of course. Abu Dharr radiallahu anhu said that I asked the Prophet ﷺ for some advice. And the Prophet ﷺ said, I advise you to be mindful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for it will beautify all of your affairs. Right? And look at how mindful the Prophet ﷺ was of Allah Azza wa Jal. When he would wake up in the morning and open his eyes, the first thing he did was mention Allah. He would say, Alhamdulillah, alladhi ahyani ba'dama amatani wa ilayhi nushur. Alhamdulillah, alladhi radda alayya ruhi wa adhina li bi dhikri. Right? There are so many du'as that the Prophet ﷺ would say when he would wake up. The first thing he thought of was Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and remembering Allah. And then he would use miswak, being mindful of Allah and the angels. Right? The angels don't like bad smells, using the miswak to purify his mouth, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then when he would put on his clothes, he was mindful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he was so mindful and present, which is amazing, that there's a different dua for when you just wear your clothes than when we wear something new. When he would put on clothes that wasn't new, he would say, Alhamdulillah, الذي كساني هذا الثوب ورزقنيه من غير حول مني ولا قوة. When he would wear something new, he was so present and so aware, so mindful. He would say, Allahumma yas'aluka khayra hadha al-thiyab wa khayra ma suni'a lah wa a'udhu bika min sharriha wa sharri ma suni'a lah. Subhanallah. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam would mindfully leave his home and he would say, Bismillah tawakkaltu ala Allah wa la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said that whoever says this dua when they leave their home, it will be said to them, you have been sufficed and protected and the devils will be far from you. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was so mindful that when he would enter the masjid, he would enter with his right foot. Imagine, he's so present in the moment that he's thinking about which foot he's going to enter the masjid with. And he would say while entering, Allahumma iftah li abwaab rahmatik. And when he would leave the masjid, he would say, Allahumma yas'aluka min fadlik. He remembered Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and was mindful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in all of his circumstances. You know, there are so many azkar of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for different things. It's so beautiful. Imam al-Nawawi, rahimahullah, he compiled in this very beautiful book a lot of the azkar that the Prophet ﷺ did in his book, Al-Azkar al-Kalam Sayyid al-Abrar. And it's such a beautiful book because there's like nothing that can happen except that there's a dua of the Prophet ﷺ. That means that in all circumstances, the Prophet ﷺ was thinking about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, thinking about what he can say to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He was so present that he even was present when it was difficult to be present and mindful of Allah. One of the most difficult times to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is in the mall, in the market. Try it. I do it all the time. I go into the mall and I'm like, I'm going to make dhikr. And then I see the shoes. And that thought goes out of my head. And I'm like, ooh, ooh, or I see the purses, right? And the Prophet, he was so mindful that even in the marketplace, he would make dhikr. And he wanted to teach us this mindfulness practice that he incentivizes us so much to recite a dua for the marketplace that he gives such a great reward. The Prophet said, that whoever enters the marketplace and says, La ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lah, lahul mulk wa lahul hamdu, yuhyi wa yumeet, biyadihi al-khayr wa huwa ala kulli shay'in qadir, will get 1 million good deeds. Imagine. And then in another narration, the Prophet said, Allah will wipe 1 million bad deeds from their record and elevate them 1 million degrees in virtue. And in one narration, Allah will build for them a palace in Jannah. So think about it. The Prophet ﷺ is trying to teach us to be mindful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when it's most difficult. And what's interesting about this narration is that psychologists have found that the people who are most emotionally healthy are able to be mindful in difficult times. Right? And so the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is incentivizing us, is giving us this huge reward in order to teach us mindfulness during difficult times, during the mall. So perhaps next time when we're at the mall or when we're grocery shopping and maybe we're standing in line, instead of grabbing our phone and mindlessly scrolling, we can take a few moments to make some dhikr, to recite this dua. Some of the companions used to actually go into the marketplace without an intention to buy anything, and they would just make a dhikr. They would literally just go there and make dhikr. And they would say, and so people would notice, like, you're coming to the market, you're not buying anything, you're not selling anything. They would say, we want to make dhikr in a place and be mindful of Allah in a place where most people are not mindful of Him. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. And there are so many countless examples of how the Prophet ﷺ was mindful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and remembered Him in all circumstances. The Prophet ﷺ was mindful in his salah, right? And he instructed Anas radiallahu anhu. Now, you know who Anas is? Anas was someone who spent 10 years of his life serving the Prophet ﷺ. He was like another child to the Prophet ﷺ. And look at his advice to Anas radiallahu anhu. He says, oh my son, be aware of being distracted in the prayer, for distraction in the prayer is a cause of ruin. So be mindful in your prayer. And we know that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was the most mindful in his prayer, right? Cultivating. And so a lot of people will ask me, you know, Sister Dunya, how can we have more mindfulness in our prayer? Whatever you practice grows. If you can practice mindfulness outside of prayer, inshallah, it will pour over inside of prayer. One of the ways that the Prophet ﷺ practiced mindfulness as well was while he was eating. He was very intentional in his eating. He would eat with his right hand using his three fingers. He would start with Bismillah. He would end with a very powerful dua. He would say, Alhamdulillah, alladhi at'amani hadha wa razaqanihi min ghayri hawlin minni wa la quwwa. All praise and gratitude is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who fed me this, and there was no power or might that came from me. Think about the food that you eat. I think you guys had burgers for lunch today. Can you imagine how long it took for the wheat to grow and how Allah had to send rain and sun so that that wheat plant can grow, and how someone had to harvest that wheat and dry the wheat, and then they had to grind the wheat. And think about the cow and how it had to be born and grazed for several years until it became older. And think about how the tomato grew, and think about the mayonnaise that was in it and how it required eggs, and how a chicken needed to lay an egg and they had to go and get the egg and mix it with oil. Just think about all of these things, right? And think about how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it so easy for you to just have it right there in front of you. And that's how the Prophet says, he was mindful of his eating, right? And so being mindful when you eat, putting food in your mouth and telling yourself, I'm not going to sit there and eat with my phone in my hand. I'm going to savor every taste. What do I taste? Being present while you're eating. When you're present while you're eating, it'll become easier for you to be present in other things. And honestly, being present while you eat is one of the more easier ways to be present and mindful. And so if you can do that, inshallah, you'll be able to grow on that practice. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, whoever performs wudu like my wudu and offers two rak'at, bowing the same way that I bow, while they're mindful, without being distracted, all their previous sins will be forgiven. That's how important it is to be mindful in our prayers, right? Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was mindful in his dua. When he would make dua to Allah, he was still present. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu said that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to call upon Allah with certainty, and he will answer you, and know that Allah will not answer the supplication of a heart that is unmindful, that's distracted. And so today, inshallah, make the intention to revive this beautiful sunnah of being mindful and remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in all of our circumstances. And being mindful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant you not only success in this life, not only all the benefits that psychologists and modern research have found, but it will also grant you the ultimate success in the hereafter, inshallah. Number two, the sunnah of being mindful of your feelings. And this is a beautiful one, that when I read about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and I noticed how mindful he was of his feelings, I thought it was just so amazing. The Sahaba said that they went with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to a blacksmith whose name was Abu Sayf. And he was the husband of the wet nurse of the Prophet's son, Ibrahim. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam walked in and he held Ibrahim and he smelled him. And while he was holding him, he noticed that Ibrahim was having a hard time breathing. He was gasping for air. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam started tearing. The Sahaba, specifically Abd al-Rahman bin Auf radiallahu anhu, when he saw the Prophet tearing, he started kind of judging him, like, wait, Ya Rasulullah, you're crying? What? You're a man. Like, why are you crying? Like, Ya Rasulullah, what is this? And the Prophet said, oh, Ibn Auf, it's a mercy. And so the Prophet continued crying, and Ibrahim took his last breaths and died in his arms. And when Ibrahim died, the Prophet ﷺ said, "Inna al-'ayna tadma wal-qalba yahzan wa la naqul illa ma yurdi rabbana wa inna bi firaqika ya Ibrahim la mahzunun." He said, "The eyes are shedding tears and the heart is so sad." He was so aware of his feelings and he was able to verbalize it. Now, in psychology, we know that that's actually a really important skill to have, to be aware of your emotions and to be able to verbalize it. And the Prophet ﷺ did it right there. And then he said, we won't say that except which pleases our Lord. And O Ibrahim, indeed, we're grieved by your separation. And so the Prophet ﷺ didn't judge his emotions. The Prophet ﷺ, he taught the Sahaba that it was okay to have these feelings, and he was aware of that. And there are so many du'a of emotions. The Prophet ﷺ was mindful of his feelings, and he turned those emotions, those feelings, into prayers. He directed his feelings to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he used his pain to get closer to Allah azza wa jal. Like, for example, the Prophet ﷺ, there's a beautiful du'a when you're feeling distress. When the Prophet ﷺ was distressed, he would say, Allahumma rahmatika arju fala takilni ila nafsi tarfata'in wa aslih li sha'ni kullah la ilaha illa ant. He would recognize what he was feeling. There's another beautiful du'a of the Prophet ﷺ. It's actually one of my favorite du'as. He would say it when he was sad. ﷺ, he would recognize that he was sad, right? And he would know what to do about it. He wouldn't try to distract the pain. You know, when we're sad, when we're overwhelmed, the first thing we do is grab our phone and start scrolling. The Prophet ﷺ sat with his pain, was mindful of it. Beautiful du'a, where when he was sad, he would say, Allahumma inni abduk ibn abdik ibn amatik nasiyati biyadik madun fiya hukmuk adlun fiya qada'uk as'aluk Allahumma bi kulli ismin huwa laka sammayta bihi nafsak أو أنزلته في كتابك أو علمته أحدا من خلقك أو استأثرت به في علم الغيب عندك أن تجعل القرآن العظيم ربيع قلبي ونور صدري وجلاء حزني وذهاب همي. اللهم آمين. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم was also mindful of the feelings of others, which is such a beautiful sunnah that we've forgotten, where we are just so heedless about those around us. You know, Al-Husayn radiallahu anhu, the grandson of the Prophet ﷺ, he had a really bad stutter as a child. It was really, really bad. And one day the Prophet ﷺ was sitting with the companions, and Husayn radiallahu anhu was trying to say something to the Prophet ﷺ, but he kept stuttering. And it was so bad that he couldn't verbalize what he was saying. But the Sahaba were kind of looking at each other, and they were like, it was awkward, right? And look at how mindful the Prophet ﷺ was. Could you imagine how bad that feels if you're a child around a whole bunch of adults and you're trying to say something and you can't, and they're all looking at you weird? So look at what the Prophet ﷺ did. He was mindful of Hussein's feelings. He said, huh, you inherited this from your uncle, Prophet Musa alayhi salam. Because Musa alayhi salam had a stutter, right? So look, he was mindful of his feelings. He didn't want his feelings to be hurt. So he said, no, you, this is not bad. You have something from your uncle, Prophet Musa alayhi salam. He was mindful of the feelings of others. He was mindful of the feelings of his wives, right? It's a beautiful narration where Safiya radiallahu anha, she was short. And one day they were going on an expedition, and so they grabbed a small camel for her to ride because she was small, she was petite. And when she saw that, I guess it triggered her because tears started falling down from her face. The Prophet, when he saw that, he ran to her and he started wiping her tears. He said, what's wrong? Why are you crying? And she's like, they always get me the short camel. And he didn't judge her and say, oh, it's not a big deal. You're so emotional. Like, you're so sensitive. He didn't do that. He said, he just called the companions. He's like, I want you guys to get me the biggest camel y'all have. He brought the biggest camel for her and he said, here you go. Right? He was mindful of other people's feelings. And he taught us to be mindful of people's feelings too. He said, when you're three people, two of you shouldn't whisper and leave the other person out. And so I can imagine the Sahaba are sitting there like, why? Why wouldn't we be allowed to do that? And he said, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, because that will make the third person sad. It'll make them feel left out, right? And so we have to be mindful of other people's feelings. The next thing that the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was mindful of, he was mindful of those around him, right? Oh, subhanAllah. It's one of the most beautiful forgotten sunnahs of our time. We are so distracted. We're distracted by our phones, by our smartwatches, by the TVs that are plastered everywhere, the music that's always in the background everywhere we go, that we don't give the people we're around our attention, right? We don't even look up when we're talking to our loved ones. And I think that's one of the biggest problems that we have, especially, you know, doing marriage and family therapy. One of the things that I've seen most with my couples is that they just long for their spouse's attention. And we are just so distracted. You know, I was trained to be very observant. And one of the saddest things is when I go out for dinner and I look around and I see this, the entire table. So the entire family will be sitting at a restaurant waiting for their dinner to come and they'll all be like this. And then when the food comes, the phone will go from their right hand to their left hand because they need their right hand to eat. And they'll eat with the right hand and scroll with the left, right? And they're not present. They don't even take the time to look at their family members, to talk to their family members. And so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was so present with those around him. He would tell Aisha radiallahu anha, I know when you're happy with me and I know when you're not happy with me. And she would say, hey, how do you know that? And he would say, when you're happy with me, you say, by the Lord of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And when you're not happy with me, when you're upset, you would say, by the Lord of Ibrahim. How present does a husband have to be to notice something so subtle? Right? But he, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, was present. He noticed Aisha radiallahu anha looking outside the window. She didn't even have to say anything. He goes up to her and he says, yeah, Aisha, do you want to watch the Abyssinians? Right? He, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, was present and mindful. He was even mindful with children. And I think these are the people that get the least amount of our mindfulness. We dismiss most children, but the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not. Right? There's a beautiful narration of Bashir. So after one of the expeditions, it was the custom that the children of Medina, when they would see the soldiers coming back from the expedition, they would run to the outskirts of Medina and wait for them at the entrance of the city to welcome their fathers and their brothers and their uncles and their grandparents, their grandfathers and whoever, right? And so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was always at the back to make sure that everybody else went in first. And so everybody else went in and Bashir is sitting there looking and he climbs up on a rock and he's looking and he's looking and he's looking and he's looking and everybody comes back in. And then he realizes the Prophet is coming, so that means my dad's not coming back. My dad died. My dad was a shaheed. And so he's crying. The Prophet, you can imagine, he's tired. He wants to go back to his family. He sees Bashir crying and he comes up to him and he says, what's wrong? Why are you crying? He goes, ya Rasulullah, I was waiting here for my father and everybody came back, but my father didn't come back. And so the Prophet ﷺ held him and caressed him and he kept crying and he said, would it not give you some solace, some comfort that I'm your father and Aisha will be your mother? Right? He was so mindful, even of children. SubhanAllah, I don't think I have a lot of time, so I'm going to skip a few of the narrations I wanted to share and go with the last narration of 5, the sunnah being mindful of the good. The Prophet ﷺ was very mindful of the good around him, and that's something that we're least mindful of. Did you ever notice we always focus and notice on everything wrong and not what's right? If you go on like Yelp, or the other day, yesterday, right? Some of the sisters were talking to me about the amount of complaints that we get versus the amount of compliments, right? Because we tend to look for and focus on the bad, but the Prophet ﷺ did the exact opposite. He was very mindful of the good. And it's really interesting that research suggests that we miss about 70% of the good things that happen in our day. And we miss about 70 to 80% of the good things that other people do for us. So they did some research where they did a study where they created this really cute apartment for couples, and they put cameras in it, and they gave the couples little devices, and they told them, every time you notice that your spouse does something good for you, we just want you to click the button. Just click it. And so they're watching them on the cameras and through the glass, and they noticed that the average husband and wife miss about 70 to 80% of the good things that their spouse does for them. So for example, their spouse will make them their coffee in the morning and hand it to them, and they didn't click the button. They just completely missed it. They weren't mindful of it, right? But the Prophet ﷺ, he was so mindful. He was so mindful of the good. And gratitude comes from mindfulness. And we know a really important part of our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with our deen, is gratitude, right? Being grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But you can't be grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala if you're not mindful. And heedlessness is what brings ingratitude. When you're heedless of the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that's when you become an ingrate. And that's very, very, very dangerous. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls ingratitude kufr, right? Surah Ibrahim. وَإِذْ تَأَذَّنَ رَبُّكُمْ لَإِنْ شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ وَلَإِنْ كَفَرْتُمْ إِنَّ عَذَابِي لَشَدِيدٌ. And when your Lord proclaimed, if you are grateful, I will surely increase you in everything, right? He left it open. He didn't say in that. And then he said, and if you're ungrateful, my punishment is severe. And so how can we be grateful as if we're mindful of the good? The Prophet ﷺ was a master of catching people do something good and praising them for it. The Prophet ﷺ was so grateful of all the many blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, it's something so beautiful. One day the Prophet ﷺ said to Abu Musa, if only you saw me when I was listening to your recitation last night. And then he praised him. He said, you were given a sweet voice like the voice of Dawood alayhi salam. Right? Imagine, he was probably just walking by and Abu Musa was in his house reciting Quran. But the Prophet was mindful. He noticed and heard his voice. He wasn't just mindful of that. He was mindful the next day when he saw him to praise him, to motivate him, right? Because sometimes all you need is a little bit of motivation and you'll keep doing more. The Prophet ﷺ was so positive. The Prophet ﷺ, he was able to savor the good, right? When he ate something that he liked, he was grateful for it. When he saw something that pleased him, he would say alhamdulillah. When he did something good, he would say alhamdulillah alladhi bi ni'matihi tutimmu salihat. And even when something that didn't really please him or that seemed bad happened, he would say alhamdulillah ala kulli hal. Ya Allah, I'm grateful in all situations. The Prophet ﷺ was mindful, so he became grateful. So mindfulness is about making a conscious choice, putting in that extra energy and effort. And remember, whatever you practice on grows. So if you make the intention right now to become more mindful, you can do that today. Inshallah, tonight when you have dinner, put your phone away and be mindful of what you're eating. Think about what flavors you taste, what you smell. Think about what thoughts are coming across your mind and be present with them. And then you can expand that to in the morning when you wake up, being mindful instead of the first thing grabbing your phone to check your notifications, to check if you got any more new likes on Instagram. Leave your phone for a few minutes and follow in the footsteps of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and start with the azkar. Alhamdulillah alladhi ahyani ba'da ma matni. And there's something, there's a beautiful sunnah that a lot of people don't know. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would, in the morning when he would wake up, recite the last 10 ayat of Surah Ali Imran. I have a whole class on these 10 ayat and how these 10 ayat are pillars of emotional wellness. And how the Prophet did this every single morning. And so perhaps that can be a new, you know, sunnah that you implement in your life as well, reciting the last 10 ayat of Surah Ali Imran. Inna fi khalq as-samawati wal-ardi wa ikhtilafi al-layli wan-nahari la-ayatin li-ulil albab alladhina yadhkuruna Allaha qiyaman wa qu'udan wa 'ala junubihim wa yatafakkaruna fi khalq as-samawati wal-ardi rabbana ma khalaqta hadha batilan subhanaka fa qina 'adhabana. Until the last ayah, isbiru wa sabiru wa rabitu wa taqullaha la'allakum tuflihun. Allahumma ij'alna minhum. Allahumma amin. And so if you want to learn a little bit more about the du'as and the azkar, there is the book by Imam Nawawi. It's in Arabic, Al-Azkar min Kalam Sayyid al-Abrar. If you don't know Arabic, Husn al-Muslim is translated. There's also the My Du'a app. It's a really awesome app. It has a lot of the azkar. And you'll notice and you'll see that the Prophet ﷺ had a du'a for everything. So that means he was present in what he was doing. He wasn't just on autopilot, right? He didn't just live life like a zombie, kind of like what we do. We're just rushing from one thing to another, not really thinking about it. So I ask and I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives all of our sins, that He exchanges our sins for good deeds, that He grants us a tawbah, that after it we won't return to those sins. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the same way that He gathered us here, that He gathers us with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the highest level of Jannah. Allahumma ameen. Jazakumullahu khairan wa akhir da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen wa sallallahu wa sallam ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Jazakumullahu khairan. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.